Mimi made for lunch for me, and I was watching Mommy. She was standing on a ladder and cleaning on top of the kitchen cabinets, and she reminded me of the snake that got poked with the stick. When Charlie and his wife came to our house on the day of Andy's funeral, and that was 3 days ago, she jumped at them like the snake at the stick. But then they left. Only Mommy's mad feeling didn't leave. She switched from sad to mad in a second and kept hanging on to the stick. Mimi was watching Mommy clean the top of the cabinets, too, with a sad face that looked like it had even more wrinkles on it now. "Sweetie, why don't you let me do that? Is it really necessary to clean up there right now?" "What? No! Yes, Mom, it is!" Mommy took another step up on the ladder and scrubbed the cabinets really hard. "It's absolutely filthy up here!" Mommy thought everything in the house was absolutely filthy all of a sudden, and she cleaned and cleaned, even where I didn't see any dirt and it looked clean. When Mommy first started with the cleaning on the day after Charlie and his wife came over, I tried to be her helper so we could do the cleaning together. Mommy told me when to give her a new paper towel piece and when to hold the bag open so she could throw out the dirty ones. But a couple times I didn't open the bag fast enough and the dirty paper towels landed on the floor, and then Mommy got annoyed and said I should find something else to do, and she kept on cleaning without me. After I helped Mimi wash off the mattress with a wet sponge, and we put the towel and PJs in the washing machine in the basement, I went back in my room and looked at my books on my bookshelf. I have a lot of books, and my favorites right now are the Magic Treehouse books. I have them all in a row on my shelf, from number 1 to number 53. That's how I like it. They used to be Andy's, and he read the whole series by himself a long time ago. He didn't want them anymore, and so Mommy moved them onto my bookshelf. There was still no school this whole week. Daddy said next week the other kids were going back to school, but not to McKinley for now. They were getting split up and were going to the other schools in Wake Gardens. But not me. Daddy said I didn't have to go to school yet next week because we're one of the affected families. Maybe the week after. We would see. I was happy about that, that I didn't have to go back, and that we would see when, maybe not for a while. Every time I thought about school, I got a bad feeling in my stomach. Like I really didn't want to go back, ever. When I looked at my books and I thought about school, I remembered my book baggie that was still in my backpack at school. I wished I could have it, because on the day before the gunman came, Miss Russell let me pick out all new books, and I didn't even get to read them yet. I wondered if the backpacks were still in our cubbies or what, and if we were going to get them back. And I really hoped so, because my FIFA sticker book and cards were in there, too. The Magic Treehouse books are my favorite books, because it's a brother and a sister going on a lot of adventures in different places and different times. Even if it happened in the past, they can still go there because of their treehouse. They're really brave, especially the sister, even though she's the younger one. She's not scared of anything. When you read about how they're going on adventures, it feels like you go with them, and you are brave, too. By the way, the brother's name is Jack, and the sister's name is Annie. Jack and Annie. That sounds almost like Zack and Andy. We noticed that when we were taking turns reading at bedtime one night. That's our tradition, mine and Mommy's. We take turns when we read a book. At first, when I couldn't read so good yet, I did one sentence, and then Mommy did a few sentences, and then me one sentence again. But now I can read a lot more than one sentence. I can read a whole page, or even more. And then we switch. When we noticed the thing about Jack, Zack, and Annie, Andy, Mommy said, "Hey, we can pretend it's you and your brother going on adventures." And I said, "Yeah, except we don't do adventures together. So it's just the names that are, like, the same, but not the rest." And Mommy looked at me with a sad face when I said that. I decided to pick one of the Magic Treehouse books and see if Mommy wanted to take turns reading. Maybe she was done with the iPad and we could have time to do reading together. I went downstairs to look for Mommy, but she wasn't in the kitchen anymore. I thought maybe she started with the cleaning again, but I saw her through the glass door in Daddy's office. I was about to go in, but then I heard Mommy and Daddy talking, and the way their voices sounded made me not open the door. Daddy was sitting in his big brown chair at his desk by the window, and Mommy was standing next to him, so I could only see their backs. I can't wait and see how things play out, I could hear Mommy say. You're a lawyer, for fuck's sake. Our son got mowed down by a madman and you're just sitting here. I'm tired of watching you sit here. We should be doing something about this. Daddy scooched backward like he was trying to get away from Mommy. I'm not saying let's do nothing about it. I didn't say that. Mommy interrupted him. You did, actually. I did not! Daddy's voice sounded louder now. All I said was it's been 2 weeks, Melissa. That's it. Not even. Exactly. Which is why now is the time to do something. Now Mommy was yelling, and I could feel my chest starting to get tight. Can you please? Daddy made his voice quiet and waved his hands like he was pushing the air down. Mommy's voice got even louder. Don't shush me! It's on them, Jim. It's on them. My son is dead because of them, and I'm not going to sit on my ass and let them get away with it. All of a sudden, Mommy turned around, and I didn't have time to move away from the door. Mommy was going to get more mad now because I was listening to their fighting. Mommy opened the door. What, Zach? I held up the book and said, I wanted to see if you wanted to take turns reading. Mommy stared at me for a minute. I thought maybe she didn't hear me, but then she said, I can't. Not right now, okay, Zach? Later, okay? And then she walked out of Daddy's office and around me back to the kitchen. And I heard the TV go on in the family room. Daddy leaned forward in his chair and put his elbows on the desk, and his face in his hands again. I was wrong about how it was going to get better after Mommy stopped being sad and in shock. There was still fighting, even without Andy here. I went back upstairs and into my hideout. After I got comfy on Andy's sleeping bag, I switched on my Buzz flashlight and opened the book to the first chapter. And I read all the way through the whole book. No taking turns. 25. The Secrets of Happiness. I feel like I'm seeing spring for the first time, said Jack. Me too, said Annie. Not just for the first time this year, said Jack, but for the first time in my whole life. Me too, said Annie. Jack felt happy, really happy, as he and Annie headed for home in the sparkling morning light. I closed the book and put it on the stack of books in the corner of the hideout, all the books I read in the last few days, and I stood up to stretch my legs. They hurt from sitting crisscross applesauce the whole time, and my neck hurt from leaning over the book. My throat felt scratchy from reading out loud. At first, when I started reading the Magic Treehouse books all by myself, I read them quiet in my head, but then I switched to reading out loud. Miss Russell says it's good to practice your reading out loud. You can read to a person, or pretend, and your brain can record the sound of the words and learn faster. So I started pretending like I was reading to someone. And that someone was Andy. I didn't even know why I started doing that, except that after the funeral when I first talked to Andy in the hideout, and I said the truth to him, that he was being a jerk to me, it felt good to say that. So I decided I wanted to keep saying stuff to Andy. I started out with whispering. I didn't know why. No one was going to hear me anyway, with Daddy staying in his office with the door closed all the time, and Mommy reading on the iPad or cleaning invisible messes. And Mimi wasn't staying overnight anymore, so we could have space, she said, even though there was already all that space in between everyone in the house. But I still only whispered at first. Hi, I'm back in your closet. And it was like I could hear Andy say, duh. Because, hello, I can see you sitting in there. You didn't always have to talk to me like that in your meany way, I told Andy, and then I said all the truth things, all the stuff that he did that was really mean, to me and to Mommy. And it was weird, because it was like the most I ever talked to Andy in my whole life. But then I started to feel bad about saying just the bad things to him, and nothing nice, because he was dead, and who knows? Maybe he was really sad about that and lonely where he was now. So I wanted to say other things to him, too. But then I didn't know what. So that's when I decided to start reading out loud to him instead. Not in a whispering voice, because that hurts your mouth after a while. I started on Magic Treehouse number 30, That was the one I picked out to read with Mommy. And I read all of that, and then number 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, and 36. And it took like one whole day to read one book, so I was reading out loud for a lot of days already. The book I finished today was number 37, Dragon of the Red Dawn. 105 pages and not a lot of pictures. I liked reading to Andy, even if it was only pretend. When I was in the middle of reading, it didn't feel like pretend. I had a feeling like he was right there listening to me, and I went on adventures with Jack and Annie, and Andy went too, all four of us. After I was done stretching my legs, I sat back down and I looked at the wall with my feelings pages. A few days ago, I hung up something else on the wall, a picture of me and Andy. I found it on a whole pile of pictures on the dining room table, the ones that were hanging up at the wake, and I sneaked it upstairs. When I took breaks from reading, I looked at the picture a lot. It was from when we went to Grandma's beach house in the summer. Not this year, but last year. Uncle Chip was still alive, but he was really sick. And in the same year, in the fall, he died. Grandma wanted us all to wear matching clothes, white shirts and beige pants. And a photographer came and took a bunch of pictures of us on the beach. There was fighting because Andy ran in the ocean and his pants got wet, and that wasn't going to look good in the pictures. Also, he kept making his funny faces in almost every picture. In this picture, we were sitting on the beach on the big sand hills, in front of Grandma's beach house, and Andy wasn't making a funny face in it, but a serious face. I was sitting next to Andy with some space in between us, and I did a cheese for the camera. But Andy looked like he was staring at something next to the camera. His wet pants were rolled up to his knees, and he was sitting with his legs pulled up and his arms were hugging his knees. He looked sad, and when I first noticed Andy's sad face, my throat started to hurt a lot. I moved the picture onto the sad feelings page, the gray one, and the whole picture didn't look like it belonged there, because it had a sunny blue sky. But it did, because of Andy's face and because of how it made me feel when I looked at it. I never saw a sad face on Andy before when he was still alive. Only the funny faces he made, and the mad faces. Always the mad faces. But maybe I never looked at his face for a long time, like now. I like the ending of Dragon of the Red Dawn, and how Jack and Annie are feeling in the end. In this book, Jack and Annie go on a quest to find one of the secrets of happiness. The first one. There are four secrets in total. To help the magician Merlin. Merlin doesn't feel good and doesn't eat and sleep, and he's tired a lot. The secrets of happiness are going to make him feel better. Jack and Annie travel in the magic treehouse to a place called Japan, and they meet a famous poet named Matsuo Basho. Matsuo Basho invented a type of short poem called haiku, and Jack and Annie learn how to make haikus too. And they learn what the first secret of happiness is, paying attention to small things around you, like in nature. I said it a few times so I would remember it. Paying attention to small things around you like in nature. I didn't know that was something that you could do to get happy. But when Jack and Annie came back from their adventure, they were feeling very happy. So it must have worked. I really wish we could have done adventures too. Like Jack and Annie, I said to Andy in the picture. Before you died. Like do more fun stuff. I tried to look for small things around us in the beach picture. I couldn't see any, but I remembered some things that are at a beach. Sand and rocks and seashells. Those are all pretty. And the grass that grows on the sandhills that gets really tall and it's sharp. So you have to be careful when you try to rip a piece off, because you can get it cut. But it still looks pretty. Right next to where we were sitting, I noticed patterns in the sand. Maybe from the wind or the ocean. And they looked cool. I didn't see those when we were at the beach to take pictures. So maybe then, if we could have tried to notice those things around us, everyone would have felt happier, and then we would have had no fighting. Maybe then Andy's face wouldn't be sad in the picture. I wanted to go try out the first secret of happiness with Mommy and Daddy. I could tell them about it, and we could try it out together, and then maybe we could feel happier again. I'll be back later, I said into the closet before I went out. Every time when I first come out of the hideout, it hurts my eyes, because it's dark in the closet with just the light from Buzz. When you first come back out, it's too bright, and it takes a while to see things right. I didn't hear any sounds anywhere, and our house was like the magic treehouse after it spins and lands in a new place. It's always the same in every book. Then everything was still. Absolutely still. When I went downstairs to look for Mommy and Daddy, I thought that our house did kind of spin, and it landed in a new place after the gunman came. Except we didn't land somewhere to start a fun adventure. We just landed somewhere, and it was absolutely still. And everyone was sad or mad. And we weren't doing stuff together, like Jack and Annie when they go someplace new. But we all did separate things most of the time. I walked past Daddy's office, but he wasn't in there. And I heard Mommy's voice in the kitchen. I think this will be good. To start with this interview, yes, let people see my family and what they did to us. I just want to start the conversation. Raise the questions, you know? Exactly. It can't just be like, oh, what a horrible thing that happened, and everyone will be upset about this for a while, and then people will move on and nothing changes. I want to at least start the conversation about them. How they could let this happen. Put things in motion to... Exactly. Then Mommy was quiet for a while and listened to someone talking on the phone. All right. That sounds good. Exactly. She said in between listening, and then she said, Oh, Zach? I went to her because I thought she was talking to me. Mommy? I said, but Mommy was still talking on the phone. And when I said her name, she got up fast from where she was sitting and walked in the family room, and stayed with her back to me like she didn't want me to hear her. But she wasn't even standing far away from me, so I still could. Oh, I'm not sure. I don't know if we should involve him. Mommy turned back around and looked annoyed when she saw I was looking at her. Mommy? I need to go, but okay. We can give it a try, see how it goes. Thank you. See you then. Mommy hung up the phone. Zach, what's up? Didn't you see me talking on the phone? Why are you interrupting? Where's Daddy? I asked. At work. He went to work. But he didn't say goodbye to me. I could feel tears coming into my eyes. Sorry, Zach. Why are you looking for him? Mommy said. Do you remember in Dragon of the Red Dawn, the first secret of happiness? I asked. Mommy made wrinkles between her eyes. What? The first secret of happiness that Jack and Annie learned from the man in Japan? And it's to make Merlin feel better? It's that you have to pay attention to the small things around you in nature. Okay, Zach. Sweetie, I don't know what you're talking about right now, but I have a lot of things on my mind. Can we talk about this later? Mommy said. And then she walked past me back into the kitchen. And it looked like she was going to make a new phone call. I could feel a hot wave come up from my belly up to my head. A mad wave. No! I said. And it was loud like yelling. It surprised me, and Mommy too, because she turned around fast and looked at me. I want me and you and Daddy to try out the first secret. We have to try it out so we can feel better again. Maybe in the backyard we could do it. And we have to pay attention to all the small things there. And then we can feel happier. If we do it later, it will be dark, and then we can't see anything. I want to do it now! It has to be now! I didn't know why my words were coming out so loud. But the hot, mad wave came flying out of my mouth. I couldn't stop it, and I didn't want to stop it because it felt good to yell. Mommy made her eyes really small, and she stared at me, and she made her voice very quiet. Zach, Mommy needs you to stop yelling like that right now. I don't know what's gotten into you, but you can't talk to Mommy like that. My heart was beating fast. I stared back at Mommy and I could feel the tears starting to spill over from my eyes, so I tried not to blink. Front door. The lady robot voice said on the alarm box, and we both jumped. Then Mimi came in the kitchen and put grocery bags on the counter, and a ginormous pile of mail. She looked at us. Everything all right? She asked. Everyone's losing it in this house, Mommy said. And she looked at me again with small eyes. Then she went back in the family room with the phone. I went out on the deck and slammed the door behind me. And that felt good, too. I walked down the steps to the backyard. I tried to stop feeling so mad because you probably can't try out the secret of happiness when you're in a mad mood. I tried to pay attention to everything around me, but it was hard to see with more stupid tears coming in my eyes. And the stupid rain was making me wet and cold all over. I put my hands inside my sleeves and looked all around. I saw leaves on the ground everywhere, brown and red and yellow, and some green ones still, too. I saw shells from some nuts that squirrels cracked open. They ate the insides but left the shells. There was the skin of the big tree that's in the middle of our yard, and it had patterns that looked a little bit like the patterns in the sand in the beach picture. I looked for all the small things, but the mad feeling didn't go away, and I didn't start to feel happy. "Sweetie, if you want to be out here, you need to put a coat on, okay? You're getting all wet," I heard Mimi calling. So I went back inside and slammed the door again on my way in. The first secret of happiness didn't work. 26. Making News. Yesterday, Daddy told me that the news people were coming today. Yesterday was Tuesday, and it was day number 2 that Daddy drove me to school before he went to work. Not McKinley, because McKinley was going to stay closed longer, but the school where I was supposed to go for now, Warden Elementary. On the first day when Daddy said we were driving to school, Monday, I got really upset because I didn't want to go. Everyone else already went back to school, except me. They were all going to have their eyes on me because I was coming back after them, and also because of what happened to Andy. "You don't have to," Daddy said, and he made me a promise that I didn't have to go in until I felt ready. "Let's just take a drive over there." So we did, and when we pulled up in front of the school, it looked like McKinley, except it was brown, not greenish beige like McKinley, and there was a playground on the right side of it that looked fun. The front door looked the same like at McKinley's, with little windows in it, and I thought about how the gunman came in through the door, because Charlie let him in, and maybe a gunman, not Charlie's son because he was dead, but a different one, could come in through that door, too. Daddy asked, "Do you want to go in?" And I said, "No." "Okay, maybe tomorrow," Daddy said, and we drove home again, and Daddy dropped me off and went to work. On our drive yesterday, he told me we weren't going to drive to school today, because the news people were coming to our house. They were coming to give us an interview. An interview is when the news lady, her name was Miss Wanda, asks you questions and you have to answer them. It was going to be about what happened to Andy, and they were going to make a video out of it, and then show it on the news. "So everyone is going to see us there? On the news?" I asked Daddy. And that was not good, because I didn't want that, to be in the video so everyone could look at me on TV. "Well, not everyone. Look, this is important to Mommy, so... But let's not get worked up about this right now, okay? I just wanted to give you the heads up that that's what's happening tomorrow. We can talk about it later. Hey, maybe it will be exciting to see how they make the news." We got to the school and Daddy parked the car in front but didn't turn it off. "Okay, but Daddy..." "Uh-huh." "What are the things the news lady's going to ask us on the interview?" "About Andy?" "Well, I think she's going to ask us to talk about your brother, and how we feel after he got... after he died. I think Mommy is going to answer most of the questions and do most of the talking. And maybe Miss Wanda will ask you a question or two. Why don't we wait and see, okay?" Daddy turned sideways in his seat and looked at me. "Are you going in today?" I shook my head no. "Didn't think so," Daddy said, and pulled away from the school. "On the interview, are we supposed to say the truth?" I asked. "The truth? The truth about what?" "About Andy." Daddy looked at me quickly and then back at the road. "What do you mean?" "I mean, like at the funeral, you said Andy made us laugh, and that he made you proud every day. But that wasn't the truth." Daddy stared straight ahead at the road and didn't say anything for a long time. We got to our house. "Go ahead and go inside, okay?" That was all he said, and his voice sounded like something was stuck in his throat. Today after breakfast, I went upstairs to put on a handsome shirt, like Mommy said, and I was about to go in my room when I heard Daddy talking in his and Mommy's room. I went closer to the door because it was a little bit open. I saw Daddy standing by the window talking on his phone. "I know that. I don't think it's right either. I tried to talk her out of it, but there's no reasoning with her right now." "No." "Yes, I know that, Mom. Look, I already told you that I agree. Zach shouldn't be included in this interview. I'll see what I can do. Listen, I should go. They will probably be here soon." I could tell Daddy was about to hang up, so I backed up from the door and went in my room with very quiet steps. I put on the shirt and then I sat by my window to be on the lookout for the news van. The sky was still gray and the rain was still pouring down, making rivers on the side of the road. In all the days since the gunman came, every time I looked out the window or went outside, it rained. I kept an eye out for the news van and watched the raindrops coming down, down, down. And that made me think about a story I heard one time, about when it rained for a really long time and it never stopped. The whole earth was going to get a big flood, and all the people and animals were going to drown. A man decided to build a big boat, and it fit only two of every type of animal on it, a boy and a girl, so they could have a new life with a new family after the flood and not be extinct. I looked at the rivers running down our road, and I wondered how much more it had to rain before it got so much that maybe we were all going to drown. Or maybe we could build a boat and then start a new life after the flood. The news van was supposed to come right after breakfast, but it didn't. I had to wait for a long time, and I started to hope that maybe it wasn't going to come. But then it did. I could see it coming up our road, and I knew it was the news van right away because it had the big standing-up bowl on the roof. It stopped in front of our house, and it said Local 4 on the side of it in big red letters. And some other cars pulled up behind the van. I watched two doors on the side of the van pop open, and some people came out and walked to the house. And a second later, the doorbell rang. I wanted to stay upstairs and hide so I wouldn't have to be on the interview, but I also wanted to see how they make the news. Daddy said maybe it was going to be exciting. I had a curious feeling. That's when you want to find out more about things. And it was funny that I was having a curious feeling today, because I just read about that a couple of days ago. In Magic Treehouse number 38, Monday with a Mad Genius, at the end, Jack and Annie find out that to be curious is the second secret of happiness for Merlin. Earlier on the phone, Daddy said that maybe I wouldn't get included in the interview. My curious feeling told me to go downstairs to see what the news people were going to do in our house. Downstairs, Daddy made me do handshakes with a woman with short, really red hair. Her name was Tina, and she had headphones around her neck like a big necklace. Daddy said Tina was the producer, and I didn't know what that meant, but she acted like the boss and told everyone where to put things. I stood by the living room door and watched. Dude, this shit's heavy. A man with all black clothes on, and long black hair and a ponytail, and a long skinny beard on his chin was trying to push our coffee table to the end of the living room. The table really is heavy. It has a big rectangle stone on the top. I can't even move it a tiny bit. Tina waved her hand over to me where I was standing by the door. "Dexter, could you..." "Oh, sorry, man. Sorry." The man gave me a wink and went back to pushing. "Son of a bitch," I heard him say very quiet, and that made me smile. Other news people were walking in and out of the house to the news van and back, bringing in big black boxes that had little wheels at the bottom, and tables that also had wheels and a bunch of stuff on them. They brought everything in our living room, and the wheels made wet lines on our floor. All our furniture had to get pushed to the side. That was Dexter's job. "Hey, man, want to come check this out?" After he got the coffee table moved, Dexter started putting up cameras in front of the couch that was still where it was supposed to be, and he waved me over. There were two cameras, and Dexter was putting them on stands that had three legs. "Look, you put the camera on sideways like this, and then turn until it clicks in. You try." He took the camera back off and handed it to me. It was a big camera, much bigger than our picture camera. And I'm not really allowed to hold our camera, only when the strap is around my neck. This camera had a long thing on the front, and tons of buttons on the side. I tried to lift it up on the stand, but it was too heavy. I could feel it falling out of my hands, but Dexter grabbed it quickly. "Okay, let me help you." Dexter was nice. He said I was his setup assistant, and he told me what all the things were for. There were high stands with microphones, and the microphones looked like furry squirrels at the end. We put up lights. There were three different kinds, and Dexter said you had to put them in the right spots for the interview so the light looks perfect. There were a ton of cables everywhere. I was in charge of taping them to the floor, so no one would trip over them. Dexter sat next to me on the floor and ripped off pieces of black tape and gave them to me. "Hey, I'm sorry about your brother, man," Dexter said. He kept ripping off tape pieces, and I kept sticking them on the cables. "Me too," I said. "That really sucks, huh?" Dexter said. "Yeah," I said. Then we were done and stood up and looked at the living room. It looked totally different now. "What do you think?" Dexter asked. "Looks cool." "Very cool," Dexter said, and he slapped his hand on my back. Then Tina came in, and Mommy and the lady from the news, Miss Wanda. And I knew it was her because I saw her on TV before, and it was the first time I ever saw a person in real life that I saw on TV. Mommy was wearing one of her old fancy outfits, and she had on a lot of makeup and lipstick. And usually she doesn't wear lipstick because she knows I don't like it when people have lipstick on, like Grandma. Mommy sat down on the couch. Dexter changed the lights around a little bit, and some of the other people did stuff on the cameras and microphones that me and Dexter set up. Miss Wanda sat down on a chair in front of the couch, close by the one camera. "Okay, Melissa, I think we're ready to begin. Remember, please look at me and not directly at the camera, okay?" Mommy squeezed her hands tight in her lap. "Do me a favor and slide right into the very center of the couch. Then we can have Jim and Zach join you on either side later on, okay?" I wanted to tell Mommy that I didn't want to sit on the couch later, with the cameras pointing right at me and the lights, and I didn't want to be on the interview. And Daddy said maybe I didn't have to. "Mommy?" I said. Mommy looked up, but one of the lights got in her eyes, and she couldn't see me. "Mommy?" I said again. I felt a hand on my shoulder, and when I turned around, I saw Tina smiling at me. "Hey, buddy, can you come with me, and maybe you can hang out with your dad in the kitchen for a little while?" Me and Daddy sat in the kitchen when Miss Wanda started giving Mommy the interview. We could hear a loud man's voice say, "Pictures up! Quiet, please!" And all the people in the house said, "Shh," together. Daddy sat up very straight on the bar stool, like Grandma, and made a fake serious face at me, and pretended to use a zipper to close his mouth. 27. Breaking News. I liked sitting in the kitchen with Daddy. It was like we were in trouble together, so we had to take a time away in the kitchen. We had to sit and be quiet for a long time, and weren't allowed to come out from our time away. A couple times, Daddy pretended like he was falling asleep from being bored, and it made me laugh. I put my face and my elbow on the counter really quick so I wouldn't make a sound. Tina came back in the kitchen and ruined Daddy's and my fun. "All right, guys, you're up." Daddy followed Tina into the living room, and I waited for him to tell her that I wasn't going to get included in the interview, but he didn't say anything. In the living room, Mommy's face had red dots on it like she cried, but she wasn't crying now. "Let's have Jim sit right here, and Zach, can you sit next to your mom right there?" Tina pointed on the couch next to Mommy. Daddy sat down, and I sat down. I could feel the eyes of everyone in the living room on me, and the cameras were like extra big eyes staring at me. "Zach, honey, can you please not look at the cameras? Can you please look at me?" Miss Wanda said to me. I looked at her, and I noticed her curly black hair was very shiny in the lights like it was wet. And then my eyes went back to the cameras. "Can he please not look at the cameras?" she said to Mommy. And it didn't sound friendly, and her face didn't look friendly. "Zach, can you please just..." Mommy's voice didn't sound friendly either. I tried to get my eyes to stop looking at the cameras, but they kept doing the opposite. "Zach, stop it!" Mommy squeezed my leg hard. It was like a hard pinch, and tears came in my eyes. "Melissa?" Daddy started to say. "Hey, man." All of a sudden, Dexter was behind Miss Wanda, and he looked short because he was on his knees, and it looked funny. He gave me a wink and a smile. "Can you try to look at me? I'll stay here if you want. Keep your eyes right on me for the next few minutes." I shook my head yes, and the tears went away. "Okay, great. Here we go then, let's get started," Miss Wanda said, and a man next to the camera said in a loud voice again, "Pictures up! Quiet, please!" And everyone else answered with the shh again. Then it was quiet for a little while before Miss Wanda started to talk. "Jim, you learned about Andy's death while waiting at St. Paul's Church for news about your son. Can you tell me about that?" It took Daddy a while until he said his answer. "Yeah, okay. I stayed behind at the church where the children and families gathered after the shooting to wait for updates from the police regarding the missing children. Melissa took Zach to West Medical to try and see if Andy had been taken there. Daddy coughed and then he was quiet. "Can you describe to us the situation at the church?" Miss Wanda said. "Okay," Daddy said. "It had emptied out quite a bit. It was chaotic at first when parents were coming in looking for their children, but over time most families left the church, and there were only a few of us left. I hadn't heard from Melissa at the hospital yet, and waiting for news was... it was hard. We were told there had been fatalities, and not being able to locate Andy, it wasn't a good sign. We waited for a long time."
"How did you finally learn that Andy was indeed one of the casualties?" Miss Wanda asked.
"Eventually some clergymen entered the church. A priest and a rabbi. And they came with Mr. Stanley, the assistant principal. I knew when I saw them. I knew right away. I didn't move, and I kept staring at Dexter. Dexter looked right at me, and I could see his long beard on his chin was shaking. 'And you had to break the awful news to your wife and son,' Miss Wanda said. It was weird she said break the news. I know it's called make the news." Daddy coughed again. "Yes, I drove to West Medical and I found them in the waiting room. Me showing up there, Melissa knew what it meant. I thought about when Daddy came to the hospital and what his face looked like, and how Mommy started howling and hitting him and throwing up. My throat started to hurt a lot."
"Zach, do you remember what it was like when your dad came to the hospital to tell you about your brother?"
All of a sudden, Miss Wanda was talking to me, and I didn't know it was going to be my turn on the interview, and right away I got hot all over. I forgot what she asked me.
"Zach," she said again, "do you remember what it was like when your dad told you about your brother?"
Now she was talking to me in a nice voice, not like earlier.
"Yes,"
I said very quietly. My throat still hurt too much to talk. I could feel the red juice starting to spill up my neck into my face, and I started to feel hot.
Everyone in the room was going to see. And on the video, on TV, they were going to see, too.
Dexter said something to me with his lips. No sound. And it looked like he said okay, but I wasn't sure.
"What was it like, Zach?"
Miss Wanda asked the same question again. I looked down at my lap because I wanted to hide my red face. I wanted to wait for the red juice spill to go back down.
"I don't want to say,"
I said, and it came out like a whisper.
"What was that, honey?"
I kept my eyes on my lap, but I started to feel a mad feeling starting up in my belly. I wanted her to stop asking me the same stupid question. I didn't want to talk. Mommy bumped her arm into my side.
"Zach?"
she said. And then I didn't know what happened. The mad feeling got big, like the Hulk.
I don't want to say! I don't want to say! I yelled a lot of times.
Okay, then you don't have to.
I heard Mommy's voice next to me, and she tried to put her arm around me, but I pushed her away, and it was too late because when the Hulk gets mad, he stays mad. Everyone in the room stared at me, even Dexter, and stupid tears came back in my eyes.
Stop looking at me! I yelled, and the yelling felt good.
I looked around, but everyone was still looking at me, and then I saw the cameras. Now I was going to be on TV like this, mad and yelling. So I went over to the camera that was next to Miss Wanda, and I kicked it. It fell over, and the man with the loud voice tried to catch it, but he was too slow, and the camera landed on the ground with a loud crash. Pieces fell off it, so it was broken. All of a sudden, I felt someone picking me up and holding me tight. I couldn't move, and I saw it was Daddy, and I yelled, "Let go of me! Let go of me!" But Daddy didn't let go of me. He carried me out of the living room and up the stairs. And the whole time I yelled and tried to kick Daddy with my feet. Daddy put me down on the mattress, but his arms stayed around me tight. I stopped yelling and kicking, and I started crying. And then the crying made my mad feeling wash away.
28. Trick or treat. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
I sat on the stairs in the dark, and I heard laughing and shouting outside. Halloween is my favorite holiday. Well, maybe Christmas is the number one favorite, but Halloween is definitely number two. I love going trick-or-treating, and we get new costumes every year. And all year long, I think about what I should be on the next Halloween. But Mommy doesn't buy the costumes until right before, because I change my mind too many times. This year, we were skipping Halloween. No new costume and no trick-or-treating. Daddy said we could go for a little while, but I didn't want to go as Iron Man again, 2 years in a row. Plus, there was a big rip in the pants. I was going to go as Luke Skywalker this year. That was going to be my final decision. A few times already, kids came to our front door and rang the doorbell, even though our porch light was turned off, and they should know that's a sign that we weren't giving out candy. And our house wasn't even decorated for Halloween this time, so that's another sign. I had a bowl of Halloween candy on the step next to me that Mimi brought over earlier. At first, when the trick-or-treating started, I sat on the stairs with Daddy, and when the doorbell rang for the first time, we went to open the door. "Happy Halloween!" Some little kids stood right in front of me and yelled too loud, and their moms smiled big smiles behind them. The mad feeling came back in my belly because it wasn't a happy Halloween, and I didn't want to look at how excited they all were. "Here, only take one," I said to the little kids in kind of a mean way, and I shoved the candy bowl at them. Their moms' big smiles went away, and when they left, Daddy said, "We don't have to do this, you know." So we decided to turn off all the lights inside the house, too. Daddy sat on the stairs with me for a little while longer, and then went back in his office. "Trick or treat!" someone yelled right outside our door. I went upstairs and into the hideout. I sat down on the sleeping bag and pointed Buzz's light circle on the picture of me and Andy. "Happy stupid Halloween," I said to Andy. Last year, at the end of Halloween, there was fighting. Daddy didn't come trick-or-treating because he had to stay at work late, so Mommy went with me and Andy before it started to get dark. Mommy had the same purple witch hat on that she always wears on Halloween, and Andy went as a zombie with a scary mask. After the second house, we bumped into James and some other kids from school. They were by themselves with no grown-ups, and they were going to go all the way down Erickson Road to go trick-or-treating there. Andy begged Mommy to let him go with them. Ricky and his mom bumped into us, too, and then Ricky wanted to go with the boys like Andy. Mommy said no, we should all go as a family, but then Ricky's mom said yes to Ricky, and that they were probably too old to go with their moms. So Mommy let Andy go, too. Mommy looked very mad after that. Andy didn't come home until after it was really dark outside, and me and Mommy were about to go back out to look for him.
"Wait till you see all the stuff I got," he said when he came running in,
and he didn't notice that Mommy was mad, and she just turned around and went in the kitchen to make dinner. We poured out our bags on the living room carpet to see all the things we got. "Keep your pile on that side of the rug so we don't mix up our stashes," Andy said, and he pushed his pile of candy farther away from mine. His pile was huge, like double mine, because he was out a lot longer than me, and also because he always takes more than one candy, and you're not supposed to do that. "Awesome, I got a bunch of big M&M's packs. 1, 2, 3, like 10 of them, and a ton of small ones," Andy said. M&M's are his favorite candy. I'm not allowed to have them because they could have peanuts. Andy started to make smaller piles around himself with all the different types of candy he got. M&M's, Tootsie Rolls, Skittles, Kit Kats. He kept eating the small candy bars, the ones that say fun size, and they're so little you can eat them with 2 bites. He put the wrappers in his pocket so that Mommy wouldn't notice. I started piling up my candy, too. "Can I have this one?" I held up a round ball that had an eyeball on it. But it didn't say what type of candy was inside. Andy came over and took it from me. "I don't know what this one is, so don't eat it," he said, and he threw the eyeball over on his pile. "This you definitely can't have. And that one, and this one." Andy started grabbing different candies from my stash. "Hey, stop!" I yelled. "Those are mine! Don't take all of mine!" "Andy!" a voice yelled behind us. It was Daddy, and he scared us because we didn't hear him come home from work. "Let go of his goddamn candy!" Daddy came over and grabbed Andy's arm and pulled him up hard. Andy dropped the candies he was holding. "What the hell are you doing? Look at your massive pile and look at your brother's. Why are you stealing his?" "I wasn't stealing his," Andy started to say back, but Daddy got more mad because Andy was back-talking. He told Andy to stop lying, and he started to drag him out of the room by his arm. Right then, Mommy came in the living room. "Jim, let go of him. What are you doing?" she said to Daddy, and she grabbed Andy's other arm, and now they were both standing there with Andy in the middle, and it looked like they were going to pull him from both sides. "I'm throwing him in his room. This kid is overdue for a grounding." "That's not how we're supposed to be handling these types of situations," Mommy said, and her and Daddy stared at each other in a mad way over Andy's head. "Okay, why don't you tell me how I'm allowed to handle it then, Melissa? Because your way is working so damn well," Daddy said, and he let go of Andy's arm. "So glad I tried to rush home to be with my family on Halloween." And then he went in the hallway and slammed the front door. A minute later, I heard his Audi turn on and drive out of the driveway. "That's what I get for helping you, you little snitch," Andy said and gave me a push. Mommy said, "Okay, that will do, Andy," and she took him upstairs for a time away. I bent down to pick up the candies Andy dropped. It was all Reese's and Butterfingers, all candies with peanuts in them. I thought about last Halloween and the fighting, and I looked at Andy's sad face in the picture. I wanted to say something to him, that I was sorry that he got in trouble, because he was actually trying to help me with the peanut candies. But I didn't say it out loud. The word stayed in my head only. 29. Snow and Milkshakes. The day after Halloween in the morning, it started to snow, and that was a surprise. To see snow and not rain? The sky looked white and the air looked white from the snowflakes twirling around, and all the gray from the rain was gone. First it was rain, rain, rain for all the days and weeks since when the gunman came. And now, just like that, it stopped and there was snow instead, even though it wasn't even winter yet. It was the first day of November. Mommy wasn't in the bed again. It was like she was too mad to lie down and sleep now. And she went from sleeping all the time to no sleeping at all. Daddy was in the bed, and I tried to tell him about the snow, but he rolled over the other way. "Let me sleep for a bit, bud," he said with a sleepy voice. So I went to find Mommy downstairs. She was in the living room making all the decoration pillows on the couch all straight in a line. "Mommy, it's snowing!" I went to the living room window to watch the snowflakes fall down,
and land on the piles of leaves on the ground. I saw, she said. Finally, a break from the rain. Don't get too excited, though. It's not going to stick.
Okay, but if some of it sticks, can we go sledding?
It's not going to. Don't get your hopes up. I'm going to be very busy today anyway, Mommy said and left the living room.
Hey, Zach, she called from the kitchen. Let's get you some breakfast, and then I want you to get dressed. There are some people coming over to the house in a bit, so I want everything squared away by then.
What people? I asked.
People I need to talk to.
The doorbell rang right when I came down from getting dressed. I opened the door and Ricky's mom stood outside. And this time she wore a coat. But she still looked cold and her face looked very white. I noticed a lot of reddish-brown spots on her nose and cheeks, and some snowflakes were on her hair. It was reddish-brown, too, except at the top. It looked like it was coming out of her head in a different color. Gray. The last time she was at our house, Daddy told her she couldn't be at our house anymore. But now she came back. I wondered if Daddy was going to get mad at her. Mommy came from behind me and walked out on the porch to give Ricky's mom a hug. It was a long hug, and I watched how their hair was touching. The reddish-brown from Ricky's mom, and the shiny brown from Mommy. I looked up the stairs. Before I came down, Daddy was in the shower, and maybe he wouldn't come down yet and see Ricky's mom.
Nancy, come in, please. Let's head into the living room, Mommy said, and they both sat down on the couch, very close together.
I sat down on the chair across from them, and like 2 seconds later I heard Daddy's voice in the hallway.
Hey, Zach, do you want to come to the...
He walked in the living room, and then he saw Ricky's mom sitting on the couch with Mommy. He stopped walking and finished his sentence very slow.
Store with me?
But he didn't look at me. He stared at Ricky's mom like she was a ghost or something. Ricky's mom stared back at him, and I saw her chin was moving up and down fast.
What is this? Daddy asked.
Geez, Jim, that's polite.
You remember Nancy Brooks, right? Mommy said, and just when she said it, the doorbell rang again.
Here come the others. Mommy got up and walked out of the living room to open the door. Daddy walked a couple steps toward Ricky's mom, and then stopped and looked over at me.
What's going on here? He asked Ricky's mom in a quiet voice.
Melissa, called me, Ricky's mom said. Her voice sounded like she was out of breath, like she just ran really fast.
She asked me over, and a few other parents of the victims, for a meeting.
I could hear people talking in the hallway.
A meeting? Daddy said.
Meeting about what?
And you said yes to come here?
I thought that Ricky's mom would probably start to get mad about how Daddy was talking to her. She answered Daddy, and her voice didn't sound so out of breath anymore.
Yes, Jim, I said yes.
She wants to talk about our options. If we can do something about Charles's family to hold them accountable. And I think she's right about that. It has nothing to do with...
All right, guys, please come in. Have a seat.
Mommy walked back in the living room, and Daddy took a couple steps back. Three women and one man came in behind Mommy and sat down on the couch and chairs.
Do you all know each other?
Some said yes and some said no, so Mommy said the names of everyone. Nancy Brooks, Ricky's mom. Janice and Dave Eaton, Juliet's parents. Farrah Sanchez, Nico's mom. And Laura LeConte, Jessica's mom.
Juliet, Nico, Jessica, they're all kids from Andy's class that got shot from the gunman, too.
I saw their pictures on the news on TV.
And that's my husband Jim and Zach, my other son.
Mommy pointed at me and Daddy. Daddy didn't say anything, and he didn't do handshakes.
Can I get you anything? To drink?
Mommy asked, and then she went in the kitchen because some of the people said water, please. The room got very quiet after she left. I saw Ricky's mom staring at Daddy. Her face looked very sad.
Mommy came back with a tray with glasses of water on it, and she put it down on the coffee table.
All right, I think we can get started, she said.
Jim, could you...
And she pointed at me with her head. Daddy stared at Mommy for a second, and then he said,
Come on, Zach, let's go. I wanted to stay to hear what Mommy and the other people were going to talk about in their meeting. But Daddy said, "Come on. Please, Zach," in the voice that he does when you better listen. I got up and walked out of the living room behind Daddy. "Let me grab you a sweater from upstairs. It got cold out," Daddy said and walked upstairs. "Put your shoes on." I sat down right outside the living room to put my shoes on so I could still hear the talking inside. "We could go over the information we do have, and also what we don't have. More importantly, maybe," I heard Mommy say, "I wanted to confirm we're all on the same page. Everyone in this room does want to pursue this. Take action, right?" "Yes, and I think so, yes," the other people said. "Okay, good. I thought it would be good to get together and compare notes, and figure out how we will proceed against them. The Rinaldises. I think it begins with us speaking out publicly. Giving more interviews, like the one I did with Wanda Jackson. And we should start looking into ways to take action against them. Legally." "Zach, that's not for you in there." Daddy stood next to me all of a sudden and busted me spying. Daddy drove out of the driveway fast, and the Audi made a loud sound when Daddy started speeding up our road. After we turned the corner, he drove slower and looked at me in the mirror. "Two stops, the dry cleaners and the liquor store right next to it," he said to me. "It's almost lunchtime. What do you say we go to the diner after?" When we got to the parking lot at the diner, there were still some snowflakes in the air. I tried to catch them on my hand, but they melted right when they touched my skin. Inside the diner, we sat down in a booth. And that's my favorite spot because you can watch the gas station across the street. It's a gas station where they also fix cars, and you can watch how they lift the cars up so they can fix them from underneath. Marcus, the boss of the diner, came over to our table, and he knows us because we come here a lot of times for breakfast on the weekends, but not for a long time now.
"Hi, Jim," Marcus said to Daddy. It sounds like Jim when he says Daddy's name, and that sounds funny. To me, he said, "Hi, Bob."
He knows that's not really my name, but he says it as the same joke every time, and then he laughs loud about his own joke. But this time, he just did a little smile, a sad smile.
"Jim, I'm very sorry about your son. Very, very sorry. All of us here." And he waved his hand around the whole diner, and a lot of people were looking at us now. "Lunch is on me today, okay, Jim?" Marcus said, and did a pat on Daddy's back.
"Okay, thank you, that's kind of you," Daddy said, and he looked embarrassed a little, and I was feeling embarrassed too with everyone looking at us. We ordered the same thing, cheeseburgers and french fries and chocolate milkshakes. We can't get that when Mommy is with us. But Daddy said, "Well, she's not with us, is she? Milkshakes on the first day of snow are a must."
We waited for the food and watched the workers at the gas station and the snowflakes flying all around. We didn't talk a lot, and I like sitting there like that. The food came, and the first thing I did was take a french fry and dip it in my milkshake. Daddy smiled.
"Daddy?"
"Yes?"
"Why is Mommy having a meeting at our house?"
"To talk about Charlie?" Daddy was holding his cheeseburger and was about to take a bite, but then he put it back down on his plate and cleaned off his hands with a napkin.
Well, your mother is very sad about Andy, right? Everyone is. Her, me, you."
"Yes," I said.
"Well, Mommy is... She thinks that if things had been... different for Charles, for the shooter, Charlie's son, then maybe he wouldn't have done what he did."
"Different how?" I asked.
It's complicated, Zach," Daddy said.
I looked at Daddy and waited so he would say more about it.
"Okay, so the shooter, Charles, was sick. He had behavioral problems, you know," Daddy said.
"What kind of sickness did he have? Like what Andy had?"
"Oh, God, no. One that made him very depressed. Sad. All the time. And I think he didn't know what was reality, what was real, and what was right or wrong. I'm not sure exactly.
So that's why he shot Andy and everyone else? Because he didn't know it was wrong?" I asked.
"I don't know, buddy,"
Some people think that his family should have known that he was dangerous to other people, that he could hurt someone.